Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Watermark OC Church Sunday Message. Watermark is a generational community that is crazy passionate about starting a conversation about God, your relationships, and authentic love. If you're interested in getting more information, please click the link in the show notes for next steps. Thanks again for listening. It's our hope and prayer that this message would transform your life.
Thanks for joining us, especially if you're kind of a first-time visitor to us. We've met so many new people, making new relationships online. So thanks for joining us. Maybe you got invited by a friend or you saw us online. But just, gosh, we're so glad to have you. And maybe you have questions as we go through the service. Ben's preaching today. You may have a question about God in your life, where you're at in your spiritual journey. What does it mean to go through God during these unprecedented times of suffering or pain or doubt? We are here for you. Right. Even though we have social distancing, there's not spiritual distancing. Right. We can meet online, and that's one of the greatest things about these new platforms. Ben and I are available for digital coffee. Mm-hmm. We'd love to answer your questions. You can kind of email them to us, but the way you connect is at watermarkoc.com. You can contact us. We're happy to answer you. We're happy to set up a Zoom meeting and have counseling or conversation. We just appreciate you coming alongside to be with us here this morning and pray that your time with us is blessed this morning. There's other ways to connect too at Watermark, Ben,
yeah,
right?
And that's watermarkoc.com/contact us. If you're newer to this thing called church or you're newer to this specific faith community, go to the website. We don't know who you are, and we don't know how to help you unless you let us know. And the Contact Us webpage is a perfect starting place for you. We can give you more information. We can keep you more up to date on what's going on around here if you go to the website. Another website that we created just for these times is watermarkoc.com/COVID-19. We haven't put up any urgent, pressing news in the last week or so, but we are going to keep talking about this website because we know there will come a day, for example, when maybe the government allows us to gather in a small semblance of a way, maybe not the full glorious standard we had before, but there's going to be updates all the time. And the way you can find out about those, whether you're a church member, a cherished guest, a friend of the church, you're out of state maybe, and you want to know what's going on, you should definitely go to this website because we're going to update it every single day. The other thing that we want to talk about, and we're going to keep talking about, is to remind you, just because we're not meeting physically as a church, the idea of church, the heart of how to have a great church experience still exists. And there's three ways that you can have a great church experience from home, from where you are. And we've been talking about this, so if you've heard it before, congratulations. That means you've dialed in a perfect process. You've gotten rid of all the distractions. Number one, you set the time apart as undistracted, just devoted to an hour with God and with friends online. Number two, you're sharing the service. I'm talking to my neighbors, my friends, the people I bump into every single day, and I know they need to be encouraged because we all are on even footing right now. We all have a need. All of our hearts are kind of soft and sensitive and maybe in pain right now, and that's why I'm talking about share it. Share this service with others. It's so easy. It's never been easier to send someone with a Facebook link to join us for this online service. And finally, take notes. If you're anything like me, you've gotten into mindless scrolling sometimes, and you're on a screen, a tablet, a laptop, whatever. There's a million distractions. Because it's a screen, it's easy to tune out. We want you to be completely engaged so you don't miss a minute of what God has for you planned in this service. Take notes, get your Bible out, get ready. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's Holy Week, and it's a great time for the church to really focus on what matters most. And even in this time where we're kind of hunkered down in our homes, you know, spirituality can be grown and can flourish in your home as you open up God's Word and read through the Gospels, Jesus' journey through Holy Week. It all ends with Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. We're having two great services, live streaming our Good Friday service at 5 o'clock here. Please join us. It's a great service where we talk about how God takes our sins to the cross and participate in that with him. Mm-hmm. We have an in-home exercise for you to participate in doing that. And it's going to be a powerful time of letting go of some of the stuff that we're carrying during this very, very difficult season. And then the celebration, Resurrection Sunday next week, live, 10 o'clock. We'll be celebrating all that God has done through the resurrection and a great time. Please continue to join us and get the most out of these weekend services. It's going to be a great time of worship and celebration.
That's right. And one of the ways you can stay connected and you can grow alongside us is through our YouTube channel. So you want to go to the website. You can find it that way. You can go directly to YouTube and look for Watermark OC. That's one word. Watermark OC Media. That's our church account. And guys, we are devoted. This is a whole how-to guide if you're not used to using YouTube. And you can go to your browser right there from Safari. Go to or whatever your browser is, and go to YouTube.com. And then type that in right there at the top. Watermark OC Media. There's our page. There's our account. There's the videos. You can click subscribe right there. That sweet little offensive red button is for you to click on. And so you can get our posts as soon as they come, as soon as they hit, you'll get them. We're trying to do them every day. And YouTube is a great resource, like Bucky said, to grow and flourish in your spirituality. I don't know if you're anything like me. Your routine has been blown apart. My routine about 2 weeks ago, it took me 2 weeks to acclimate to my work from home routine. And my wife and I, for those who don't know, my wife and I have 7 small children. And so work from home has taken on a radical new meaning for me. I had to really get my head around what is a new routine and how can I get a goal for 30 days. That's a post right now on our YouTube account. That's the last video we did. It's a little bit of a quarantine life hack, we're calling it. So very practical wisdom and guidance for how to not just survive, guys, during this time, but to really thrive in the season of a different routine, a different schedule, a different pace of life. So go to YouTube, subscribe to the channel, post comments for what you need so we can serve you even better with more video content.
Yeah, we want you to continue to flourish during this season where everything's so chaotic and things are changing. And the way that we do that by is staying connected, by abiding in Christ and His Word, abiding together through these worship services and social media platforms, but also through the act of generosity. That's one way we continue to flourish as we give ourselves away. Maybe that's to a neighbor and helping them. Maybe it's going and getting groceries for a shut-in. Maybe that's praying for your community or praying for somebody in your life that needs God's grace at this time. But it's also giving our gifts to God. We take a worship offering every week, and your offerings matter, especially during the season to the church. This is the way the church is supported. This is the way the church continues. All these platforms that we're switching to, they cost money, and they cost time to put this all together. So it's your generosity that is getting the gospel out in new ways. And also in the city of Costa Mesa, partner together with all of our church friends. We're still helping the homeless. We're getting food into their hands. We're going to shut-ins. We're sending care packages to them. That all comes through the generous giving of the church. So I want to pray over Ben, the offering, as we give ourselves to God this morning.
Can I jump in there,
Bucky? Message.
Yeah, just want to say, just for those who are in need, whenever we talk about the offering, you should know about benevolence. Benevolence is the church's financial aid package. It is monies that have been set aside, specifically donated to help families of the church, or maybe even relatives and friends of family members of the church. And we have those dollars set aside for you. We can't say this enough. As much as we invite your continued partnership, if you have a need, and that gets really elevated maybe in this month of April, go to the same website. Go to watermarkoc.com/contact us. Please let us know how we can come alongside you during this time. Don't fight these battles alone. There's no need to do that. We have these dollars that God has faithfully and generously provided for such a time as this. If you have a financial need, go to the website /contact us, and someone will be in touch with you soon to find out more about what's going on in your situation.
Yeah, some of you need help, and we are here to help you, and we have funds to come alongside you. Some of you want to help. We had a gentleman in our congregation that said, I want to give more during this season so that benevolent needs can be met. And we thank you for your generosity, how you're serving the church at this time. Let's pray and ask God to bless our offering today. Father, thanks so much for this season that we're going through. It's difficult. It's challenging. I pray for every person that's listening here that's going through a crisis or a struggle, maybe lost their job, maybe we're struggling in isolation with fear and loneliness. Father, I pray that this service and this message just reaches their heart through the power of your Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for the generous givers and the funds that we have available to help our city, to help the homeless still, and to help those within our church that have need. Use these funds and use this offering to continue to do your work and share the good news of Jesus with everyone who needs to hear it. Bless our time here this morning. Anoint Ben. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Bucky. Hey, would you do me a favor and flip me that water bottle? Thank you. Guys, we've been in this teaching series so far, getting ready for Easter, called the I Am Statements. This is from Jesus. He made these statements in the Gospel book of John. Jesus used these metaphors to picture and proclaim a key part of his identity or his character or his mission in the world. So Jesus would say things, he'd say things like this: I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. We find out upon deeper study, we've been wrestling through this and figuring out in the study, that actually each one of these that Jesus says, thanks, man, appreciate that, awesome, is an upgrade from a deeper, older meaning to the Jews living in Jesus' time. It would have been a reference that they would have understood. So what actually Jesus is saying in these metaphors as he describes his identity and his character is, I am the greater bread. I am the greater light. I am the great, great, great vine. There is no one like me. There is no hope like me. There is no truth except that found in me. There's no eternal life except for that which is found in me. So the big takeaway, you guys, for this entire series of what we're learning is there's no better offer in the world. There's no better offer the whole world over than the man and mission of Jesus. That's what we've been learning from this I Am teaching series. Jesus' words, these metaphors, these pictures of his character. And on this Sunday morning, Palm Sunday, which signifies, as we've already said, Jesus' great entry into Jerusalem, the week ahead of his crucifixion and resurrection, we're reminded once again of how perfect and awesome an answer to our prayers was Jesus. He was the most amazing and tremendous answer to our prayers. Then and now and forever, Jesus will be the answer to our prayers. But it doesn't really feel like that right now, does it? These are some of the most challenging historic times we've ever faced. It's unprecedented. Dun, dun, dun! That's the key word, right? We've read it a million times. We've said it a million times. What does that mean, unprecedented? I mean, 10 million people unemployed, or at least those who have filed unemployment. 10 million people. A million people worldwide sick with this virus. Panic buying, face masks. It's hard, and it's sad, and it's tough. It is brutal. For some of you, really, really brutal. And yet, the feeling, the grief, the intensity, this prayer that some of you have been crying out to God with is not much unlike the people during Jesus' time. What do I mean? When Jesus came marching into the great city, riding on a donkey's colt, the scripture says, that we're going to read in a second from John chapter 12. You can pull your Bibles out right now and go to John chapter 12, whether you're using a Bible app, hopefully you have a secondary device from what you're streaming, or you have your print Bible, go to John chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible app and you don't have a print Bible, just go to the internet. Just go to your web browser and search John 12, and it'll pop up. You'll see Bible Gateway is probably one of the first hits. And follow along with us in verse 12. There was a people who were so desperate and so in need that they literally cried out, help, save us. Help, save us, they said. This is from John chapter 12, verse 12. It says this, the next day, a large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. They began to shout, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it just as it is written. That's interesting. Written where and what? Do not be afraid. It says in verse 15, do not be afraid, people of Zion. That's the Jewish people. Look, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. Wow. Do not be afraid. And he uses this word. When John, the author of this book, retells the biographical story of Jesus, which is a real historical moment in time, he uses this word, Hosanna. The people cried out, Hosanna. What does that mean? Well, the original language, what it means when you translate it from the Hebrew originally, it means help, save, we pray. This would have been a very common household term in the first century Palestine for Jews. Why? Well, because they lived in a very harsh world. Most of us know medieval times because it's just popularized by culture and by story and narrative. But guess what? Several decades before that time, the first century was brutal. It was such a tough environment. People did not live very long. People had their kids sold into slavery because of debts. People were taxed out of their ears, you wouldn't believe. Triple taxation. They were taxed again and again and again at every single place that they would try to go. It was a painfully trying time. But you know what else was common in this phrase, in this verse that we find from the time of Jesus? That entire verse. Right there where it goes into italics and it's kind of bolded on the screen if you can see that. It's a whole reference to Psalm 118. Years and years, centuries before the time of Jesus, the Jewish people cried out with the same exact words, Hosanna, they said. And the biblical author right here is quoting Psalm 118. Okay, so class is in session. I don't know what your environment is like right now. You're in the kitchen, you're in the living room, you're in your bedroom, you got kids running around, whatever. I'm not sure. But class is in session, so let's just have a quick pause. Get your kids around. I can speak to kids all day long, okay? I ain't afraid of no small children, and I can translate this stuff for them too. But guess what? Even as grown-ups, class is in session, and we're going to do a little bit of a Bible study right now, and I'm going to give you a tip for how to read your Bible. There's a very key factor for some of us been going to church a long time, whether you're brand new to church or brand new to the Bible, and you've missed this key detail. Some of our friends, Vance Gardner, if you're watching, which I know he is, or Bob Fulmer, they lead a Bible study, by the way, online, on Zoom. You go to /contact us, and we can get you in touch with their Bible study. These guys, they go through the Bible, and what do? When they see a little note, a number, or a letter in the side columns of their Bible, or in the gutter, the bottom column of their Bible, their print Bible, from a verse that they're reading, they know that's a reference to look up. That letter or number is a reference to look up a previous passage in Scripture. Now, most of us, we just read right through those. We never take the time to stop and find out what's going on there. What does that letter mean? What does that reference mean? What's that other verse that's an earlier quotation from Scripture? What's that all about? And I'm going to urge you, and I'm going to show you how to do it on this very important piece of text, that you got to look up those verses. Why? Because it will lead to greater understanding of what the Scriptures are saying. And it'll lead to greater understanding and power of the ministry of Jesus. Well, why does that matter, Ben? I mean, I don't just need head knowledge. I need to know how to live right now in the time of coronavirus. I need to know how to live. Well, if you take time to look up the references in your Scripture, you're going to grow in a greater depth in your spirituality, in your faith, in your not just your understanding of Jesus, but in your whole faith. I want to give you a picture. Okay, like I said, this is Bible study now. We've changed gears and we're doing Bible study about how to read the Bible. I'm going to give you a picture, okay? This is what you do. When you're reading through John 12 like this, and you see that there's a letter or a number on the side, and it's a reference to an older piece of Scripture, what you're going to do is you're going to open the Russian nesting dolls. What? What are we talking about now, Ben? That's right. We're talking about Russian nesting dolls. And most of you should be familiar with this, but we have one that comes out around Christmas time in our house. I couldn't get one to show you, so you're just going to have to picture in your head a little metaphorical Russian nesting doll in the palm of my hand. And this nesting doll only has three layers, the larger, the medium, and the small. And they're these concentric shapes that fit one inside of the other. You pop the top, and there's the next one, the medium-sized one. You pop the top, and there's the small one on the inside. That's what you do when you read Scripture. And you see references to previous verses. You pop the top and you see a greater depth of meaning, understanding, wisdom, and growth in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. So for our purposes today, we have three of those dolls. We have the first one, the large one, which is from John 12. It's still on the screen. And then we have the second one, which we're going to jump backwards, because that's what you do when you get the nesting doll. You go a step backwards to whatever the author is quoting. And we're going to look at Luke 4. And finally, we're going to jump to Leviticus 25. And that's the innermost part, the innermost doll. So right now, join with me to Luke 4. Because before ever there was Jesus in his triumphant big moment showing up on Palm Sunday when they laid down the palm branches, there was a moment that came before where Jesus called his shot. Now, a lot of you get that reference too. In basketball, we're playing a game, a competitive game, and we're going to call our shot. We're going to say it's a swish or it's a bank shot. Before we throw the ball up, we're calling what will happen before it happens. Jesus called a shot right here in Luke chapter 4. This is what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. And this is really key. The entire rest of the message is on this last line right here. The whole inner nesting doll is right here on this last line. So hang with me. It's going to be good and intense and deep. We're going to do a deep dive study on this last line. But Jesus, this is Jesus' words now in the Gospel book of Luke. He says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now remember, Luke 4 right here is just the medium-sized nesting doll. What Jesus is referencing in this passage is two or three more verses. He's talking about Isaiah 58, a man in a book that came, again, centuries before Jesus' time. He's talking about Isaiah 61, another chapter from that same book. And he's even referencing this example of the year of the Lord's favor where people are set free. The captives are released. The poor do get good news. Those who are terrified and afraid and alone at home right now, they experience that burden lifted. Jesus, in his words right here, is referencing a passage from Leviticus 25. He's talking about, when you read this, the year of the Lord's favor, I want you to think of the word jubilee. Right now, everyone from home, say the word jubilee. I even got the people here, the very few who came to help us record the message, dancing along, and they just said jubilee. And even though there was like three or four of them, it just made my heart happy. So I know you did it too. Say it again one more time, jubilee. Jubilee, good. What the heck is jubilee? Well, a lot of us can understand and imagine what it means because it's made it into our modern English form, this idea of jubilation, right? But for the purposes of our scriptures today, jubilee is like wishing you had a do-over. Any one of you guys ever wished you had a do-over? You wish you could just start from scratch? In the famous words of, I think it was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, just scratch it, reverse it, flip it and reverse it, just scratch it, start over. Have we ever had that moment before? Have you ever had that experience before? I think you have. That's what the year of the Lord's favor is. That's what jubilee is. And that's what I want to talk about, that Jesus was the greatest jubilee, the greatest reset of all time. He came to set the captives free. He came to set you free from fear and bondage and oppression of all sorts. He came to set all the debts forgiven and canceled once and for all. That's the big idea for this morning. That's what I want to talk about. Now, before we get into Leviticus 25, remember that inner shape, that last inner nesting doll. I want to give some historical context of what's going on in the book of Leviticus, okay? Now remember, especially those who are newer to church and you're joining us, the Bible is one book with 66 books. And we believe that the Bible is inspired by God, is authoritative. It has real serious authority for governing our lives. And it's alive too, for speaking into our lives. And we believe that it's inspired and breathed by God, even though it was written by human hands and human scribes. We believe that he inspired it and he blessed it and he was over the whole process. And Leviticus is one of the earlier books of those 66. It's part of the Jewish law, the very early history and law books for the Jews that we, as a Christian church today in this century, still believe in. And we read the Old Testament books. And we believe they offer instruction for today. And in this moment, in Leviticus, we're going to get there in a second, not yet, but in a moment, you'll see that the Jews, God's chosen people, they're wandering around in the wilderness after having been freed from slavery. They were in bondage. They were oppressed. And they experienced redemption, man. God freed them. He heard their cries, and he freed them. Now, they're wandering around in the wilderness, and God hands out his covenant law. Many of you may know this term, the law, the Torah, the Jews would call it even to this day, the first five books of the Bible, law, his rules, regulations. But most of us know it as rules and regulations. What we don't know is that it was so incredibly filled with grace. It was so incredibly relational. And I want you to know that right now. If you have heard that the God of the Bible is this angry God, this pointer finger God, this judgmental God who's just waiting to roast you with rules and regulations, I want you to hear, and you're going to hear it in a second when we get to this passage, that the law of the Old Testament, the God of the law, is incredibly gracious, incredibly forgiving, and incredibly, incredibly relational. He is interested in a relationship with you. He so wants to know you. He so wants you to know him. God is handing out this way of life. He says it's better than the surrounding nations that the Jews find themselves in. It's so good, it will be an example to them, and it's filled with grace. One of those laws or regulations that God is handing down to his people is this idea of the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. Hundreds of years later, that Jesus is going to quote, he's referencing Leviticus 25. And this Jubilee, it's couched in the broader conversation that God is having about Sabbath. Now, our people, our church family members should know this word by now, Sabbath. Everyone say Sabbath. Sabbath, which comes from the old Jewish word to stop or to cease, to rest. If you didn't know that word, you are now living it. At least I hope on a Sunday morning, as much as you're working from home. Maybe you're one of those few workers that's twice as much work as you ever had, and you have no idea how to stop and have a day off. But hopefully today, or when you're watching this, you have a moment to sit down and rest. And that's the broader conversation. Jubilee is a smaller part within the broader conversation of Sabbath. And you remember what God said. He said, work 6 days, rest one. He went on to say, work 6 years, plow the land, harvest 6 years, and on the seventh year, let the land rest. Pause, stop, cease. A lot of us, even as Christians, whether you're new to the faith or you've been here a long time, we forgot there's another step that God makes proclaiming to his people that even after the 49th year, after the 49th year of work and toil and captivity, that there's a 50th year where all the debts are canceled and all the slaves are released and all of things are forgiven. And that is the year of Jubilee. That's the year of the Lord's favor. Look at this now from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. It says, so you must consecrate the 50th year. That means set it aside. Remember how we said set aside this Sunday service? Set it aside. An hour on Sunday morning started at 10. Set it aside as a special sort of thing. That's what consecrate means. The 50th year. And you must proclaim a release in the land for all its inhabitants. That year will be your Jubilee. Each one of you must return to his property, and each one of you must return to his clan. He's saying the slaves, because there was local slavery at that level for the Jewish people, and they numbered the millions, even wandering in the wilderness. There was local slavery going on. It wasn't like our mid-century American subjugation of people that was based off of race. It wasn't that way. It was typically based off of debts, okay? That the Israelites had foreign slaves in their midst, and even fellow Israelite slaves. And that was canceled. In the 50 year, canceled. In this moment, are you seeing where I'm going? I'm just going to give you a tiny little hint. You see where I'm going? In this cultural, historical, unprecedented moment that we're in, the ultimate cancel culture moment of all time, where all it is bad news. Are you ready for a little bit of good news? Are you ready for some good news? This is what I think Jesus is calling us to, and what God was calling us to all those years ago. It says in verse 23, a little bit more practically, what did Jubilee really mean? What were the Jews supposed to do with this information? The land must not be sold without reclaim, meaning that you could get it back. You could get your land back. Because the land belongs to me, God says. Whoa, that should form our worldview as believers. God owns it all, he says. For you are foreign residents, temporary settlers with me. And all your landed property, the property you own, you must provide for the right of redemption of the land, that you could give it back. So God does this amazing, wonderful reset. It's called the year of Jubilee. The most profound reset of all time. Is that not gracious? Is that not forgiving? For you who are out there and you've talked to someone who maybe has had a bad experience with God, the Bible, or church, and they think he's just angry. God's just angry. Does that sound like completely, purely wrathful? No, even the Old Testament God was filled with grace, filled with mercy, and totally oriented around forgiveness. So God does this radical thing. But Ben, still, what in the heck is Jubilee? What does it have to do with Jesus coming into town on the donkey? I always thought it was just this word just means, jubilation. Well, you know what Jubilee is? This is what Jubilee is. And this is a great dictionary definition of what is meant at that time of Jubilee, and even a little bit in today. And this is what it says on the next slide. If you'll check it out here, you'll see a full definition of what Jubilee is here. You guys got me? You got me on that slide? Whoever's back there? Tech team? My friends? Back there? Ambie? Help me. I'm struggling. I'm floundering. I'm sinking. Help me. What happened? Okay, that's it. There it is! I'm the one who got it wrong, not the tech team. Way to go, tech team. Everyone at home, give it up for the tech team. That's what I want you to do right now. Give it up. They're the best, and I'm a big darn fool. It says this, God instructed the Israelites to practice a radical custom to ensure dignity and equity to all people. Oh, does that sound like a wrathful, judgmental God? Huh. Every 50th year, the people would sound trumpets, okay, interesting, to proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. This would be a tangible, material liberty, a liberation from multi-generational poverty. If you think about that, every 50 years, a multi-generational poverty, God just says, done, paid for, discontinued. not able to be paid back. And since trumpets in those days were made from hollowed ram's horns, this special year would be called Jubilee, derived from the Hebrew word yobel. Everyone say yobel. Awesome. I can hear you all the way from your homes, which means ram's horn. And what do I have for you today? What did I find lying around my house from my wife and kids' homeschool study that was delivered to them 2 weeks ago in a box as a part of their curriculum, studying ancient Israel, but this year, a ram's horn. You know what I'm going to do next, don't you? You know where I'm going. Oh, yeah, I'm going to blow this horn. I'm going to blow this horn full tilt right now. I don't know what's going to happen with my microphone in my face. You've been warned, though. I'll just tell you that right now. So I think you should keep your speakers all the way up just so you'll never forget this moment in time. But here we go right now. This is what would have happened. This would have signified the year of the Lord's favor. You ready for this? Here we go. Rap. That was loud, wasn't it? The whole city of Costa Mesa just heard me go ham with the ram's horn. Jubilee. That's what the word Jubilee means. It's a ram's horn. It's a symbol that signifies release of the captives, release of the debts, and forgiveness for all. Ben, why are you talking about that stinking horn? And where are you going with this idea of Jubilee? Well, here's the point, you guys. Why would I devote so much time to this? Because I feel like this is the moment in history where God is blowing this horn right now. So fast forward, okay? All that stuff was thousands of years ago. And then even Jesus' time, thousands of years ago. Fast forward to today, right now, this Sunday morning in the month of April in 2020, with all this chaos going on outside. And I believe that God is saying from the heavens above with a horn over all creation, whatever you believe, whatever your friends believe, whatever your family believes, even ground. He's putting us all on even ground, blowing from the heavens, saying, hello, pay attention. You can't do this on your own. Pause. I am not saying that God is plaguing people and making people sick. That's stupid. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that God is in control of this historical moment and his purposes, though confusing and troubling and mysterious at times, are so clear to me right now. That God is creating a level ground of need for all of us to acknowledge we can't do it on our own. We cannot save ourselves. And from heaven above, in this historical moment, he's blowing the horn saying, forgive one another. Be ready to cancel the debts wherever you see them in a material fashion. Yes, that too. To the landowners and the tenants and the businesses and the companies and the governments and the banks. Yes, pay attention, be listening. How can we get through this together? Maybe the canceling of the debts in a material fashion, but also in an emotional fashion and a spiritual fashion to forgive the debts. So is this an unprecedented time in history? Yes, it is. How do I mean that? In terms of the illness and the hospital overruns and the panic buying and the social distancing that will linger for months even after we're done with this? No, no, no. That's not what I mean by unprecedented. What I mean and what I think the scripture means for us today is that it's an unprecedented time for the seeds of need and grace, the cycle of brokenness and mercy, of debts and forgiveness. Those cycles are to be found in our midst everywhere right now, you guys. Everywhere we look, there's an opportunity for grace and mercy and forgiveness. We have a cultural, historical moment right now. It's not just the crazy pastor on the stage this morning yelling this out. There are actual economists, secular economists, who are proposing that a Jubilee policy would address our economic fears in this year, in this time, in this season. Should that make us pay attention? Should that make me think about the scripture from Jesus quoting the year of the Lord's favor, going all the way back to Leviticus, the year of Jubilee? Should my ears perk up when I hear that? Should all of us be paying attention and being attentive to what God wants us to see? When in this time, the government has released $350 billion for struggling companies to fund this paycheck protection program alone. Get this, okay? You think, yeah, a loan, but a loan assumes that I got to pay it back. This loan requires no collateral. This loan requires no personal guarantees. And this loan is even forgivable. If the small businesses and nonprofits like ourselves play along and we go according to the rules and we keep people employed at this time, is that a pretty minor concession in order to get dollars funded in a forgivable, gracious way? Yes. I don't care about the administration or who the individuals are. They did it together. Congress together approved this thing. And even our government is creating policy around forgiveness and grace and mercy. Guys, this is our moment. Please join me in listening and paying attention to what God wants to do in your local examples for you where you are. Whether you work from home or you're still working outside of the home, whether you're going to the grocery store once a week or you pass your neighbors from a distance, what is the debt that God wants you to forgive? What is the mercy or grace that God wants you to show to your neighbors, families, and friends, even over a Zoom call? Yes. How can we be about this Jubilee? You see, because Jesus, when he rides into town on the donkey, on Palm Sunday, this our Palm Sunday, he represents the greatest Jubilee of all time. It's not just material wealth forgiveness and material debt forgiveness. He forgives it all. He proclaims freedom and debt forgiveness to every single level, material, emotional, spiritual. He frees us from everything. Look at what the scriptures say. There's so many references, and I just picked three. Look at what it says in Matthew 6. You see, sin as the ultimate debt, that's what we believe. It's a debt we could never repay by any good works or good things or being a good person. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debters. Jesus said that when the people asked, how should we pray? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those. It says in Colossians 2:14, what we're going to celebrate this coming Friday, that the cross wipes out every balance. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, meaning all of our wrongs. Guys, listen, I don't know what you believe or think about sin, but it's any word, thought, or deed that falls short of the glory of God. If God is perfect in heaven, if Jesus was the perfect man, never sinned, can we agree that all of us have at least fallen short even by one thought? We know we have, and there's no amount of good work that could make that right, but the cross has taken it out, having nailed it to the cross. Every single shortcoming, every single word, thought, or deed that fell short of glorifying God is canceled out, forgiven, and freed. And this is from Philemon. Paul, the earlier believers, the followers of Jesus followed this. And he said, if he, which is a man that Paul is advocating for, who has sinned, has done wrong, and Paul says, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. As the band comes up right now and we finish with a song and then we take communion, maybe get your communion elements ready right now. You may still be asking the question, so what? So what, Ben? That is so obscure. You got the stinking ram's horn up here. You got Jubilee. You walked us through this very interesting history lesson. So what? What I say to that question, which is a fair question, I say, do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did during this time and the opportunities that he gives you. Forgive the debts, both emotional and material. Take on the debts of others like Paul said that he would do, like Jesus did before us. We know about the cross. We know about the blood of Jesus. We know about forgiveness. We've heard that song. Every year, so many of us Watermark family members who have been doing this for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you've been going to church, and we know what happens on Good Friday, and we know what to expect, but do we pick up the cross ourselves and take debts on our shoulders on behalf of others, knowing that when we do that, Jesus will cancel them. He's good and just and merciful to cancel them. Cancel them. Whatever you do, don't miss this historical moment. You guys, as Christians, we're called to be on the front lines, to be ready and alert, to be focused and invested and wise and shrewd. Let's not miss our unprecedented moment. You see, the way I figure it, and the way I think about that word, we have an option. We have the option to have it be unprecedented in terms of just resigning ourselves to fear and doubt and worry and concern and chaos and defeat. Be unprecedented in that way. Or it could be unprecedented by the ways in which you and I release justice and mercy and grace and forgiveness like we never have before. And in that way, we pick up the baton that Jesus laid down when he died and resurrected, and he took on the debts of all of humanity. And we, in a small, similar fashion, lead people into freedom. You guys have to understand that God's name has been made famous in the unprecedented. God is known and made famous for what he does in times like these. I was thinking about this last week as I was prepping for this message, and now I'm going to share it with you because it just seems like the lighthearted anecdote to finish on. We all love a great comeback film, don't we? We all love those movies, those famous Rocky movies, the boxing movies, right? Where the fighter is against the ropes and it's all the way to the last round and he's beaten and bloodied and he seems like he's going to get beat down, he's going to get defeated, and all of a sudden he comes roaring back and he bounces off the ropes and he punches the guy and he knocks him out and he cancels all the debts and he frees all the debtors, all the people are made free. The only difference is in that scenario and our God of the Bible and his son Jesus is that God is both the referee, he is both the winner, he's created the environment of the ring, he has put the people in place and the surrounding to watch, he has put everything in place because he is the great orchestrator of history. And there was never a doubt, even though you may feel beaten and battered, there's never a doubt of his perfect plan, even in these trying times. So I just pray that you'd be encouraged by that message and that moment, this moment, that what God means by unprecedented is probably completely different in what you've been thinking or living the last couple weeks. I'm going to pray right now, and then Ben Esch is going to lead us in communion, and we'll take communion, and then we'll have one more song, and we'll end our service for the day. So, Jesus, I just thank you so much for this service. I thank you so much for this message. I am so personally thankful. I was going to say that I am thankful for my indebtedness, but that's exactly contrary to what you did, for what you did, Jesus, in canceling the debts. There's nothing I owe. There's nothing I could do, and there's nothing anyone at home could do. Whoever it is watching at home, Lord, maybe it's someone who has never heard this message before, and I just pray in the name of Jesus they would feel physically, materially, in their body, in their mind right now, that forgiveness, that whatever questions they have, whatever doubts, whatever worries, whatever debts that they have they're holding on to, you'd release in the name of Jesus right now. And in the flood of forgiveness, in the wave of forgiveness that they feel, Jesus, they would know that's on account of you. And they would know you, that they would actually know you, Jesus. And that they would be able to respond through the website. Go to watermarkoc.com/contact us. And they would cry out through the webpage. They would put in the comment section, yeah, I'm saying yes to Jesus today. And we'd be able to follow up with them and welcome them into the family of those who are no longer indebted. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that right now on the hearts and minds of people watching and listening. Thank you, Jesus, for this communion, for these elements that we take right now, that they are a great remembrance of our forgiveness offered to every single person. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi guys, it's good to be here with you this morning. It's good to connect with you. My name's Ben. I'll be helping us, assisting us in our partaking of the Lord's Supper today. Hopefully you have your elements ready. If not, grab a snack nearby, grab some crackers from your kitchen, grab some grape juice, some juice. I believe that the Lord's Supper is a very important aspect of the Christian faith. It's something that the early church centralized their entire worship around when they had their services. And I think it has the same importance for today. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:16, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, are not we sharing in the very blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, are not we sharing in the body of Christ? This is a meal where we receive the gifts of God. He is really present here in these elements for you. His jubilee is right here, physically and tangibly, for each and every single one of us. We receive all the blessings and goodness and peace of Jesus right here. And I want to say a blessing. This is a blessing known as the words of institution. And I'll say it over our elements for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Please partake with me today. This is Jesus' broken body shed for you. His blood shed for you. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for your jubilee. Thank you for setting us all free. Free of all the guilt and all the shame we have held, all the mistakes in our lives that we constantly make. Thank you for rescuing us. Paul says, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, you are so gracious, so merciful. Empower us, strengthen us in your body and your blood. You cleanse us from all sin. Strengthen us and empower us to forgive others. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that this message has challenged and encouraged you. If you need prayer, would like to join a small group community, or are interested in partnering with our work throughout Costa Mesa and Orange County, please go to watermarkoc.com. We would love to start a conversation.